Good afternoon. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels, President of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and Distinguished Lecturer Emeritus from York College, City University of New York. I'm welcoming you to this September 13th COVID era edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's WBAI on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right. The York College radio community is tuning in to Vantage Point. Well, today is the first time, I guess, since I've been doing this for a while, that it's going to just be me and you, that is to say the audience. I'm on the soapbox, and we're going to have a full opportunity. Some people didn't get all their licks in last week. You'll get a chance to get them in this week, because I'm going to be on the soapbox, and we're going to be having a vigorous, lively discussion on a range of issues. And those issues include the vaccine and mask mandates, reflections on 9/11, is America more safe? The enemy from within, is Roe v. Wade dead? Also want to talk about Biden's dipping poll numbers. But before I do that, let me just take a moment to pause to say on this past Saturday, of course, it was 9/11 and sober to just extend condolences to all of the families who lost loved ones, to all of the first responders, plaudits for their courage and their commitment. And quite frankly, as I shall say later, really, the way in which they were treated, many of the first responders, is not something that in some ways America should be proud of, nor the United States of the city of New York, for that matter. So we're going to be on the soapbox today, and that means that you can call in. I have a range of issues to talk about, though you can deviate if you choose. We just want to have a bigger – there's so many issues facing us that we just want to get your opinions and exchange of views on those. Our number for the soapbox is 212-209-2877, and you will be able to call instantly to check in just a minute. Or you can start now, because you may already have a thought about one or more of these issues that I'm going to talk about. First of all, let me just talk about the mask and vaccination mandates. Kudos to President Biden for standing up, being bold, no longer hesitating, pontificating, attempting to persuade, as many of us have tried to do, folks to get vaccinated. Vaccinations are not new in these United States of America. Polio was wiped out because of vaccinations. Whooping cough, measles, there's a whole series of vaccinations that are required. If I decide I want to get onto a plane or decide to go to certain countries and around the world, I have to get vaccinated against yellow fever, or there are other diseases that I have to have a card. I have to be vaccinated. So vaccinations are not new. And obviously, you know, we know that there are concerns that we've had within the African-American community, which really were not about vaccinations. In fact, some ways we didn't get the vaccinations. We were subject to experiments by the government. And of course, that is a source of concern and ought to be. But we have credible people, numerous credible people have come forward, including the woman, a black woman who, in fact, was the one who was able to say this innovation in vaccination technology will work, had been on the table for 10 years. It took her to see that. And then many, if you look at television, you see over and over again people saying this is safe. Problem is that if people don't want to get vaccinated, that's their business. If it were their business only. Problem is that the fact that people are not vaccinated affects others. That's the issue. If all of the unvaccinated people want to go to Mississippi or Georgia or create a Republic of the unvaccinated and relics with each other, party with each other, live with each other, and whatever they do with each other, including die with each other, I really couldn't care. I actually don't want that to happen, but I'm just saying that rhetorically. But the fact of the matter is we can't do that. So those who are unvaccinated are a threat to each other and a threat to some degree to those who are vaccinated. And the problem is that with our hospital systems, you see it over and over and over again, particularly in the southern states where you have the MAGA madmen and women, these governors who politicize it. Now, many of them have their vaccinations. They have access to some of the best treatments, if you will. But they want to go out here and politicize masking and vaccinations in relationship to schools. And our children are the most vulnerable. They cannot be vaccinated. There's no vaccination for them, particularly those, I think it's not under 12 years old. And so we're exposing them, and more of them are getting the vaccine, and they are dying, and there are people who were deniers who are now crowding hospitals. And in so doing, there are people who have asthma, heart condition, diabetes, other diseases, and may need some care. They can't get a bed because some unvaccinated person has now been rushed to the hospital and is on a ventilator or is in the ICU unit taking up a bed that should be occupied by somebody who is vaccinated and had the sense to do so. So it's time to stop the madness. I don't care if we have to have vaccination passports. We need to have it. We need to create incentives for people to get vaccinated so we can get back to normal life. Planes, that's right, on planes. If you want to travel, you should be able to show your vaccination card. Want to get on a train, show your vaccination card. Mask is no longer sufficient. In other countries, it's been reported, there were some reports the other day about countries, you know, you want to go into a restaurant, you have to show a vaccination card because they're trying to keep their population safe. And even in the face of that, there are still some dangers, but at least it's more containable. And the worst possibility, and hear me carefully, is that if we don't get this Delta virus under control and some of these variants, there may come a variant that will break through and not be containable by these vaccinations. And then we'll be back all over again trying to find another vaccination and then having to stay inside and all the stuff. I think people yearn for normalcy. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Your opinion on vax mandate, masking mandates. I suspect a number of you will be opposed and a number of you will call to excoriate me. I don't really care. It's time to mask up, vax up to save lives. Too many people have died needlessly when there's a solution right here. And so I'm in favor of masking up. Biden's poll numbers are slipping and I wonder why. A fickle American public. Well, the withdrawal from Afghanistan was not exactly pretty. I will agree with that. I really thought it could have been done better. Right now, there's a hearing by the Foreign Relations Committee, chaired by none other than Congressman Gregory Meeks, who is, I count as a friend, who is chairing that committee, first African-American to have done so. There are questions to be asked. No question, however, that the withdrawal was something that was long overdue, but I didn't like the way the withdrawal went down. I thought it could have been planned better. I thought it was messy. I thought it was difficult. And this accountability needs to be there. There are some people who were left behind, Americans and those who fought with the Americans, stood side by side with them in the face of this Taliban, these Neanderthals, these atavistic folk. Could have been better. That's one thing, however. That's one thing. The Biden has messed up one thing. I don't like the way that went down. But to begin to compare him in any way with the mad MAGA man, the orange Agent Orange, who we suffered through for 4 years. I mean, there is like night and day. not only in terms of the tone, but in terms of people are concerned about the COVID. Yeah, because COVID, I mean, this man was talking about taking in bleach, injecting all kind of crazy stuff, you know, just denying that it even existed, even though we have to give him credit. He was the one who helped to get the vaccine done. If he was smart, he would have took credit for that. Maybe he would have been reelected, unfortunately. But I'm saying give Biden a break. Give Biden a break. He's only been in there nine months now, whatever. Tone is different. Competent, effective, trying to reach out to get, first of all, the first COVID package, you know, that got out a couple of trillion dollars out there. And two more on the that are coming that will be game changers in terms of what it means to average ordinary people in this country. Unfortunately, Democrats don't know how to message very well. And by the way, some of these people from these MAGA states, they are going to accept those checks. They're going to accept those benefits. You know, maybe there should be a little sign on MAGA. You can say, I don't want this to send it back. You don't want it, send it back. You're not going to send it back. And it came from the government. Yes, the government sent it to you. Bold possibilities in terms of checking and countering climate change and creating new jobs, millions of green jobs that are out there. Broadband, pregnancy leave, family leave. I mean, there are all kinds of things that are in these infrastructure bills that actually will be very, very, very beneficial. So give Biden a break, if you will. Now, let me turn to 9/11. Again, delicate. I can remember it being at the Center for Constitutional Rights. We had to tiptoe around this a little bit because obviously we did not want to step on the graves of those who were lost. And we earnestly, and even today, earnestly, really, really, really regret and take no pleasure, obviously, in their loss. But this notion somehow that, well, first of all, in the African-American community, perhaps even in Native American communities, people quietly said, well, black people have been terrorized for years and years and years and years and years. I mean, like 300 or 400 years of terror. Constant terror. Constant terror. And the other thing is this notion about how well the people came together. Well, maybe for a moment. But there are also, people got to remember, there was the U.S. Patriot Act. Remember that? The right-wing reactionary seized upon it to intrude into our lives, to spy on us, to begin to take away our liberties. That also happened. There were attacks on Muslims or Arabs and people whom they thought. I mean, you know, we at the Center for Constitutional Rights were constantly having to do know your rights kinds of training for the Muslim community. They were under constant assault. They too are American. So why did they find themselves being victimized? So everything was not hunky-dory after 9/11. And one of the most shameful things that happened is people use it to play politics and to pay what I call pseudo-patriotism because those, and by the way, at the Center for Constitutional Rights, we had environmental lawyers who went down there and we knew that the air was poison. Volunteers and those first responders courageously down there digging through that rubble to try to save people's lives. No masks, no precautions. They were, and then when they ingested all of that poison, got cancer, how many years did it take before some of them could even get a check? Some of them died and never got a check. And yet we're wrapping ourselves in flag. That's one of the most shameful things that could happen, that you send people into fight and people gladly do their duty and then they can't even get a check. They can't even get it took years to get compensation, and some of them never got compensated. 212-209-2877. Comment on that, if you will. And then there was the war in Afghanistan. The war in Afghanistan. 20 years of madness. I must say that President Bush, no great favorite of mine, but he did yesterday speak clearly about the enemy from within, white nationalist, white terrorist organization, white supremacist organization. That is the enemy from within that we all need to be concerned about. And finally, this blow, these hypocrites in Texas destroying Roe v. Wade. I mean, nullifying it in the same way that they nullified the Voting Rights Act, making it almost impossible for a woman to exercise a right to choose, to have right over her body, to make this crucial decision, not even for rape or incest. I mean, and then having vigilante justice. I mean, we need to rally, get ourselves together, and sweep aside, crush these hypocrites. We may not agree on everything, but these people pose an existential danger, not only to black and brown people, they and people of color. They pose an existential danger to black people, to people in general, and this society. Well, that's my open commentary in terms of the soapbox. There are other things that I probably could say, but let's go to our listening audience. We have a full hour almost now to respond by way of the audience. Let's go immediately to our first caller. Good afternoon. Are you on the soapbox with the professor?
Yes, sir. This is Mr. Larry Gaylord. Two quick things. The first thing, I mean, if the government or any part of the government or the local state can say, okay, you take the vaccine, we guarantee if anything happens to you or something like that, your family will be taken care of. Everybody's body is not the same. You know, a lot of people are afraid, I think, because if something happens to them, I've never taken a flu shot. I've never had the flu, never, don't really get sick, don't get colds or anything like that.
Did you go to school? Did you get measles vaccination? Did you get whooping cough vaccination?
Yes, I got all of that. All of that when I was
young. Of course you did. And that was because the government stepped in to say that in order to protect you from yourself and another protect others, a vaccination is in order. Now, you're right. There's always going to be a some within the millions and millions and millions where there may be some adverse reaction. There's no question about that. But the question is, by far, and I don't mean this in any disparaging utilitarian way, but the greater good for the vast majority of people is these vaccinations actually work. And the problem is, if you're unvaccinated, I don't want to impose it. I really don't. But there's a situation where you're not being vaccinated is a threat to others. That's the problem.
But what about a threat to me and my family? If something happens to me and
you are a threat to you, and you are a threat to your family. And there are a whole lot of people sitting up in hospitals now saying, I wish I had taken the vaccine, and a whole lot of people who are now saying, my family, I gave it to my family, my children, and they are dying because it's been demonstrated that particularly the Delta variant is deadly.
But I see people that's been vaccinated. Actually, nobody's saying Delta variant. They're actually saying COVID-19. So that kind of tells me that the vaccine doesn't work. I mean, what is it?
Oh, come on. The science is very, very clear. The vaccines, some people, I'm sure there's some people out there that will never be persuaded, who are well-educated, who look at data, and somehow that is just a barrier they can't overcome. The vaccines are overwhelmingly successful, and they are protecting people from getting hospitalization by and large and deaths. And even when you get it, if you contract it, it's mild. And you do have these breakthrough cases, but if you don't have it, the chances of you being hospitalized, seriously ill, and dying are 10 times higher. And in fact, you have this whole scenario of these after effects. About 30% of the people will never, ever fully recover. They're going to be permanently damaged because of this. And I don't mind you taking that risk. But when we have children out there who can't get vaccinated and they got to be exposed to the unvaccinated people, and now you're saying more and more children going to the hospitals and more children dying every day, That says we got to do something, my brother.
I guess you say that, but I mean, I still don't feel. I respect what you're actually saying, but it does. In some ways, it does not make me feel better what you're saying when looking at the.
I'm not trying to make you feel, brother. This is not a feel good exercise. This is not about feeling good. This is about.
I heard you saying how you don't care. So.
No, I know. I know. I do care. I really do care. I'll say that just for hyperbole's sake. But and again, if people, we could just send you off somewhere, be fine. But it's time for these mandates now. And if you don't want to get the vaccine, fine. That's why I believe in mandates. And therefore, you know, restaurants, planes, trains, you know, you even have to have there are minimum requirements for a whole lot of things in this society. One of them ought to be a vaccination to make sure that all of us are protected. It's Ujima, collective working responsibility. It's looking after each other and caring after each other. We can't do that voluntarily. Unfortunately, it's got to be mandated. Thanks. Appreciate your call. 212-209-2877. Let's go back to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Yes. Aloha, greetings. Huna Healing. First of all, people like Dr. Gary Noh, Dr. Kakai, and many, many other doctors understand that it's not a vaccine. The word vaccine comes from vaca, which happened in Africa with the cow using a little bit of the pus from the pox of the cow, and that's the beginning of vaccines. This is a type of genetic therapy, as it were, but not clear. If the injection worked, you wouldn't have to worry about people. And Dr. William Hazelton, who has all the credentials in epidemiology and vaccinology and all of that, he says any population of any vaccine, say, cannot take, 20% cannot take it because elders, when they get the flu shot, they need an extra dose because you get older, these type of chemicals don't work and you have people immune compromise. And Biden should know better. He won't deal with the slavocracy of the filibuster, which came up under John Calhoun, but he wants to tell people. And by the way, Professor Gloria Brown Marshall's mother was doing fine after and before first shot. When she got the second shot, Mordana, and condolences to her family, but she died. And Ron, in terms of your being patriotic, you're clueless around September 11th, 01. You need to read a book called The Most Dangerous Book in the World, 9/11 as Mass Ritual. Once you read that and understand that, you can't unread it. And moreover, because you are trying to build something on a huge lie, and deception, fraud, and plagiarism, you can go nowhere. And that.
All right. Okay. I appreciate it. Appreciate you. You had a lot of time to air a whole lot of views. I don't know how coherent it is. There are climate change deniers too. We have the right wing going back and referring to, oh, there's Dr. So-and-so, who has all these eminent credentials, who's like 0.5%. Their credentials are more important than the 99.5% of people who are coming out saying, this is what's happening in terms of the science. So we can always find somebody somewhere who will come out and say, oh, no, this is not true, this is that, and so forth and so on. And by the way, there was some conservative radio talk show hosts who were running that line, and three of them, prominent ones, are dead. I'm sorry they're dead, but they're dead. 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. My name is Greg Korn from New Jersey.
Yes, Greg.
Okay, three things. I'll try to be quick. Last week, something I was unaware of even a few months ago, although I studied history for a long time, momentous thing in the world, September 7th, 1848, there was all types of revolutions happening in Europe at that time against the monarchy, finally after a millennium.
That's
and
right.
And on that day, My great-great-grandfather living in what's now Slovakia was no longer a serf. We have been serfs for 500 freaking years.
Uh-huh.
Whether you were Slovak, Polish, Ukrainian, Ruthenian, Hungarian, whatever. Finally, but why did that come about, Professor? Because people were on the bar. Okay, they'll say, okay, that happened. Yeah, the Austro-Hungarian, they granted us no more serfdom after half a millennium. For a year, people were on the barricades all throughout Europe fighting against the monarchies. They forget to mention that. That's the first thing. I'm meant to say.
No matter what, you're absolutely correct. It was a great wave of, in fact, many of these were utopianists. Many of them are actually precursor to socialist revolutionaries.
Exactly.
And by the way, some of them came to the United States of America and helped build a socialist movement here in this country. So I'm familiar with that
history. Professor, God bless you. And they served in the Union Army, and they were abolitionists, and they also were concerned about the treatment of Native Americans. Second thing, September 11th, 20 years ago, I was off that from work that day. A neighbor of mine called me, who was a retired New York math teacher. He said, geez, you see what's happening on TV? I said, what? Oh, the World Trade Center got hit by a couple airplanes. I said to him, Gary, you have a sense of humor, but that's not funny. No, take a look. So I looked, I went, oh, my God. So drove over and saw somebody I could say I know pretty well. He's watching the TV. I said, what do you think? He goes, controlled demolition, classic. Who was that man? Retired New York City fire captain. My father. All right? Controlled demolition. I had never heard that expression in my life. An hour later, a gentleman called who I knew in the town here. He had worked on the World Trade Center for many years, supervisor of construction for the whole foundation. Irish-American from New Jersey. Greg, me boy, what do you think? Hey, Tom, how you doing? Ah, a classic controlled demolition. I went, oh, my God, no. From that moment, I looked at things a lot differently, especially previous time Mr. Trump and the Republicans. What they were saying about Arab Americans in New Jersey on that day, that they were celebrating in the streets of Patterson. I was in Jersey City that day later. I was in Patterson that day.
Well, that's one of the things, by the way, I pointed out, by the way, is that, you know, there was a lot of anti-Arab, anti-Muslim sentiment. I was at the Center for Constitutional Rights, and we were having to go out into the streets, protect these folks, meet with them. They were just terrified because, you know, I mean, this was an opportunity, unfortunately, for people to turn on citizens, you know, of this country. And we see that happen, unfortunately, all too, you know, all too happen
well,
often. And the USA Patriot Act. We can never forget the fact that they established or enhanced the surveillance state up under the pretext, you know, of defending our civil liberties, and then all of the torture that took place, all of the waterboarding, all of
okay,
the kind
Mr.
of.
Mr. Daniels, let's take this home. That day, the police chief of Patterson said there was nobody. There were people crying, and hurt from that day. Nobody was celebrating anything. A couple months later, a friend of mine who's an attorney in Patterson. He had a client, young fellow who worked at a gas station, Arab American Muslim. He was picked up, detained. He and a civil rights attorney, I had dinner with them the next night. What's going on, guys? We have a client, young fellow. We know the family for a generation. He's in jail right now. And as attorneys under the Patriot Act, we are not able to know what our client is charged with.
Right. All right. Well, look, yeah, I hear your point. A lot happened. They could even penetrate your computer, all into your system. You wouldn't even know it. I mean, I just have to say that, you know, again, we lament the loss of life, but there was a whole lot going on that was ugly and terrible, and some of which we have not recovered from. Yes. Appreciate your call, my friend. 212-209-2877. Lines wide open for comments. 212-209-2877. We're talking about mask and vaccination mandates, Biden versus the orange man. His poll numbers are dipping. I kind of wonder why that's happening when you have compare him with the Agent Orange and the orange man and all the craziness that we suffered through, including an attack of his followers on January 6th. And we're talking about 9/11 and, you know, the fact that there was a lot that really went wrong after that, that, you know, that this whole notion about everybody being united and everything was hunky-dory is really kind of a myth. I do give plaudits to President Bush. He did yesterday, or I mean on Saturday, did highlight the enemy from within, which we really need to be worried about. The white nationalists, the white terrorists, the people who are really, really the neo-Nazis who are just, you know, who were really hell-bent on imposing or attempt to impose white minority rule in this country. Let's go back to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox with the professor.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hello. And you?
Okay, good. I'm calling about this thing that's sweeping America now. The critical race theory.
Critical race theory, yes.
It's being objected to by a lot of states now. You know, they don't want to unmask the real history of this country. They want to keep it as it is. You know, they want to keep the lie floating. But once you pull the mask off and see what it's really about, then you take, they're saying, well, it's turning kids against kids. That's not truth. It's just telling the real history of this country. So what do you think about that?
Oh, no, I totally agree with that. In fact, I have the honor of saying that Professor Kimberly Crenshaw, who is one of the architects of critical race theory, is a former student. I had the privilege of teaching her for one class way back in the day at Cornell University. And I've been trying to, I connected with her a couple of weeks ago. She was actually having a training in which he was getting people up to speed and training them in critical race theory and whatever. And I was hoping to have her today. I wasn't able to get her, but we hope to have her on in the not too distant future. And it is interesting that while these same people who refuse to deal with the question of mask in order to prevent the deaths of people want to keep the mask on when it comes to the truth about American history. And I happen to see Bill Barr. Is it Bill Barr? I guess, yeah, on the other night. And he's kind of eclectic and sometimes generally pretty good. But even he was off into this whole thing about, you know, how we're now teaching history in a way that's turning people against each other and whatever. I mean, we're not trying to turn anybody against anybody. I'm a retired distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York. And when I taught racial and ethnic politics, I began the class with a proposition, and that is that America was founded as a white man's, not a white man and woman's, a white man's land. And I told my students I was not trying to be hyperbolic. I was not trying to be rhetorical. I said, I will demonstrate to you with the documents in American history. It's right there for you to see that this country was meant to be for white people. And we need to expose that. We need to talk about it, because only by getting that kind of reckoning, you have Nicole Hannah Jones, who did the 1619 project. She, you know, ended up was it Duke University or was it University of North Carolina? They got all nervous and they didn't want to extend her tenure because she was willing to tell the truth. No, we have to tell the truth. And I don't want to tell the truth to hurt anybody, to harm anybody. But the fact of the matter is, the failure to tell the truth has harmed millions upon millions and millions of black people and brown people. And in fact, it actually harms white people to the extent that they come off with a superior sense of themselves and have no sense of equality because they've missed the fundamental reality of the equality of all humankind. So I'm with you, brother. We need critical race theory, and because uncritical race theory is white nationalism, it's white terror, and it is not good for your soul. And in fact, John Henry Clark said, white nationalism is the enemy of black nationalism. 212-209-2877. Got some open lines here now. 212-209-2877. We got, got another 15, 20, about another 20 minutes so you can get in. This is the, good afternoon. This is the professor. You're on the soapbox.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so very much for taking my call. I want to say that I truly do enjoy listening to WBAI on occasions when you have the participants of the audience, the listening audience, giving their views and opinions. But I would just like to state this. It's great when we have a conversation and when we don't get too excited, and I'm one that get excited, so it's basically self-control. And the first caller that you had who was giving, I believe, Mayat, who was giving information and facts. It's a wonderful thing to know facts and details, because when one knows, then one can make an intelligent decision on what one should do. So I thank you for having the participation of your audience, but I would ask of you that you, I know you get excited, you know, it's just like in a classroom. If you're teaching students and you want them to think for themselves, to be creative and investigative, you must use a certain approach, and that's not basically badgering or trying to drill down to them. And Professor, I would like to know, your professor, what is your area of expertise?
Africana studies.
What did you teach, or what do you teach?
Well, my degrees are in Africana. My doctorate is in Africana studies.
Oh, Africana studies. Okay, mm-hmm. Then of course you are quite familiar with James Smalls and Dr. Ben, and I won't go through the list.
Yeah, Dr. Ben, Dr. Jeffries, all of these folks are people who I work with and admire and whatnot.
Greg Carr of
yes, absolutely. Greg Carr is somebody that I've worked with very. I've worked when I can catch up with him. He's blown up so big you can hardly catch up with Dr. Greg Carr.
Yes,
but let me just say this. I am a professor.
He has a Saturday class on, I guess it's the YouTube, on the internet, which people all over the world
are members
of this class.
Right.
And it teaches. And he's very, very, how could I say it? He brings to you the warmth as well as the knowledge. So if you have a viewpoint that may differ with him, you have the opportunity to converse, not to beat one another down, okay? Because his callers are basically those who are in control and are educators. And for those who lack the knowledge...
Hold on just for a minute. Please don't confuse a vigorous exchange of views for a beatdown. I mean, we're having a vigorous conversation here, and I don't apologize for that. Including when I deal with my students, I challenge them, and that challenging sometimes can be challenging. I mean, I believe in critical thinking. I believe in people looking at different points of view and whatnot. And so sometimes when we're having with the first caller, we're having a dispute. And I'm using that term positively over what the facts are and what the facts really imply. So, I mean, to me, that's fair game. So I don't intend to change that. I really do give people an opportunity to go on. And if they disagree and they have a different point of view, as you are, I'm giving you more time than I ordinarily would give most scholars. And I will often do that. So, I mean, it's a vigorous conversation, but it's not done and I am being strong today on certain things intentionally, because I'm trying to drive a point home, and I'm driving that point home based on the data that I see, and I'm willing to put that data up against others who are calling, and that data just simply from a professorial point of view does not stand up. If you were in my class bringing some of the stuff that's being brought here on the air, you would flunk. Because it is not scientifically true in terms of what's coming on air. So, look, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your advice and your counsel. I am working with a lot of people that you mentioned, and I appreciate their approach. But, you know, I certainly don't want to intimidate anyone, and I certainly don't want anyone to feel, I mean, you stand your ground, I stand my ground. All right, appreciate your call. 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. get you into the conversation. We've got some open lines. Again, you know, I believe in vigorous conversations, and people call and they express their point of view, and very often they disagree with me, and they have every right to, and they can strongly disagree with me, and I don't have a problem with that. I can take it. 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Professor Daniels. This is Vincent. I'm calling you from Plainfield, New Jersey. I spoke with you recently, and of course, the topic had to do with the vaccination issue and the pandemic, whether created or real. I had listened to the two first callers, and they were making some points, and I'm glad to hear it. And also, I would commend you on the other topics that you were discussing about other issues beyond the vaccination issue and the mandates, of course. My, of course, issue was previously you had said that maybe those who are not vaccinated should leave the planet. And, of course, I had issue with that, and I'm glad that you had somewhat walked back your position on people who want to go down to Georgia or some other places down there, and you walked up. I'm glad you did that. I'm not one of those persons. I'm not a MAGA supporter. I'm not a conservative, conspiracy theorist. My background initially, for the most part, was in law enforcement and as a detective, and then I transitioned over to education. I was taught at a New Jersey Institute of Technology. I was part of a research project. So I'm a stem cell teacher also. But with regard to the position that both the government and the news networks have taken about promoting and pushing vaccines, and they have Bill Gates and this Where's Waldo impression talking about everybody in the world should take the vaccine, I disagree, of course, because of my knowledge. And, of course, you have Dr. Kamal Kukai on the network who gave his point of view on whether or not someone should believe in a certain position or not, and he gave a very cogent position, and he laid it out for most people that could understand. He didn't take a position. Again, when you bring up something like vaccine passports and mandates, then you the environment, something that could wind up being deadly, not for refusing to take the vaccine, but because some people may think that they have the authority to demand that other people show them proof, just like over in Texas, where they're going to be following the women around and following the drivers around that take them to the abortion clinics or for whatever they're going for. And that could lead to deadly consequences. The same here. If we say, well, if you can show proof,
if you say today, there was a time when you could just walk into the airport.
Yes.
There were no screenings. There was nothing. Yes. You could just walk up to a plane and you could say bye to your families. They were leaving and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That changed. That changed because circumstances changed. And right. So, yeah, you can't contest. I mean, you can't decide that you're not going to have in New Jersey or anywhere in the country that you're not going to have insurance on your automobile. You don't have a choice about that.
Correct. Okay.
The government says you can't have a. You can't.
They're not relevant to what I'm talking about.
It's relevant in the sense that governments do have the right to make. To call on you to do certain, like wear a seatbelt. You could say, I don't want to wear a seatbelt.
There's 30 hospital staff that have chosen to resign rather than be vaccinated or follow the rules of vaccinate.
Okay? That's right. So they have a right to do that.
These are not dumb and ignorant people, nor am I or some of your callers. So we're taking a position that, and in terms of young people, On News 12 New Jersey on August the 18th and 19th, they had a report indicating that the Moderna vaccine is being looked at over the inflammation and the heart conditions that may be affected in young people. And as a result of some other reports about Johnson & Johnson, CVS, a major chain, has refused to continue to give the vaccine for Johnson & Johnson. Ultimately, what I'm saying is this. For those that are 12 years and younger, I'm glad that there's no vaccine condition that they have to follow protocol right now. Hopefully, it won't ever come to place, because those who do receive the virus, obviously, they're not getting it from somebody that doesn't have COVID-19. Someone who has been given the shot, administered the shot. And I don't call it a vaccine, because the vaccine we took as children.
Well, call it whatever you want to call it. I mean, we're not going to play semantics about what we call it. Call it the vaccine, whatever it is.
Again, with measles, mumps, and other things, we didn't have to take it anymore. So that was something that had a prophylactic effect, and it prevented us from getting some. But this that they're pushing as a vaccine does not do that. It has what they call a breakthrough, or I would call it a breakdown. If you're getting something, you're getting COVID-19 after you take the vaccine, and there are people who have died after taking. My cousin was.
Yeah, there are. But here's what you're doing. You're taking. No one denies. Excuse me. I've let you talk for several minutes now. I've listened. What you were doing. It's what the climate deniers do. That is, you take this, everyone concedes that the vaccines, or whatever you want to call them, are not 100% perfect. Moderna, none of them. They said 90 or 95. That means 5% of the people may get it. But the question becomes the 95% who will not get it. That's the question we have. They've all admitted there will be occasionally some irritation or something that will happen out of millions and millions of people, where someone may come up with a heart condition or something. They've all conceded that. We understand that. That's a risk. And so you have, it's what you take, you decide. Now, some people, because of that risk, will say, I don't want to do it. But the risk of getting the COVID and dying from it is far greater, or shedding it to others is far greater than if you take the vaccination. That's the point. And so we have, like, you know, you can all come, like I said before, I'll repeat it. We can come up with a expert. The climate deniers have experts, and they are in the 1% or the 0.5% who make cogent, clear arguments about why climate change does not exist and why we shouldn't do anything else. But they're in the minority. So, I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make. You can decide anything you want to decide. And yeah, and when I say hyperbolically, you know, what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to say is, if there is a way that people who are not vaccinated cannot contaminate the rest of us who are vaccinated, then that would be the ideal scenario. Because you have hospitals, people who are in the hospital pleading with folks who are coming in unvaccinated. It is a pandemic, as Ms. Walensky said, of the unvaccinated, overwhelming the hospital systems. And so therefore, people who have heart conditions and diabetes and other things, we have to turn them back, or even ration care, because people don't want to get vaccinated. That's a horrible scenario. And so that's all I'm trying to say. Appreciate your perspective. And I've heard it. I've listened to it. I still disagree with it. You still disagree with mine. And that's fine. Appreciate your call. 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. Hello. My name is Marie. I live in Queens, New York. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, so I have a few problems with the vaccine. And, you know, I don't understand how you can mandate something that doesn't stop transmission or infection. And I also have a problem that there's no long-term safety data on this particular drug. Now, you're right. A lot of us did take vaccines when we were younger. But this is a different type of vaccine. You know, it's mRNA a synthetic mRNA at that, that's never been tested in human beings for an extended long period of time. And they bypass all of the animal studies. I mean, why were those steps missed when in the past, all the vaccines that we took, they were there. They were in place for a reason. Why remove them now? That's, you know, I'm just not understanding the whole process of it. When I was a child, I had the measles. And as an adult, I never had to take the vaccine because I was, you know, immune from it for life. I don't understand if you get a cold, you know, if you had this COVID 19 virus, why all of a sudden are we changing the way the human body works? All of a sudden, well, our immune system is not going to take care of this.
Well, that's kind of what the data shows, that this was not an ordinary. There are all kind of coronaviruses that are out there all the time, and the flu. Every year, the flu comes around, and X number of people die from the flu, and we accept that X numbers of people are going to die from the flu. The problem is, even with the least communicable of these variants, the death rate is astronomically higher. And so we've never seen anything like this in 100 years.
That could be a few things. Like I said, how can you mandate something that doesn't stop transmission or infection? Number two.
Well, but it does stop transmission.
By the CDC's own admission, they said it. That same one.
Well, no. Let me back up. Well, first of all, even if there is transmission, at least it insulates you from hospitalization, severe consequences, and death.
Because nurses and doctors, we have to look at why don't they want to take these shots? Because they're on the front lines, and they do see what's going on. Now, what we see in the news...
But the question becomes, you would have to take a poll and see what is the percentage of doctors, because you have, again, I get back to my analogies as we have to begin to close out. Sure, there is a minority, and by the way, let me just also say this. The fact that they're in the minority doesn't mean that they're wrong. Let me just put it that way. They could be right, but they are in the overwhelming minority. What we see, even in the African-American community, which is what my first concern is, I want to see who is coming forward. What is their credentials? What is their background? What are they saying, and why are they saying it? And if they're credible, then that's a part of what's guiding, my sense of
credibility. The farmers, big farmers, Pfizer. I mean, they have like a $2 billion lawsuit against them that they had to pay out. Why? Because they pushed out fraudulent reporting. So why would I trust them with mandating with a vaccine? It's like, would I hire someone like that who lied on their resume? It's going to make you think, hey, you know what? I don't want this, person.
What is data? The data is coming out every day. Large institutions are collecting the data, and the data is showing that the vaccinations are working. The masking is working. And so as I close, who are the vax deniers, the vax hesitation. I appreciate that hesitation. But if you're hesitating, that's fine. But I am in favor of mandates so that those who are hesitant can do that, but they will have to do it in terms of things that they're not going to be able to do. They're not going to be able to go to on a plane next to me because they're not vaccinated. They're not going to be able to get on a train because we have got to stop this virus. In my opinion, mandates, therefore, are in order, and I give kudos to President Biden, who tried to control, persuade, did everything he could. Finally, he stood up for the poll show, the majority, the vast majority of people favor vaccinations. And now, after you get with the number, over 75, almost 80% of the people have been vaccinated. It is the unvaccinated who are now threatening the existence of those who are vaccinated. Let's appreciate it. It's been a vigorous conversation. I anticipated that out of this audience, there would be more vaccine deniers than those who are actually in favor of it. But believe me, there is a majority out there who do agree with my position. Anyway, we've had a great time here on the Soapbox with the professor. Many, many other issues we could talk about. We'll be back in a couple of weeks ago. I do hope I can get Kimberly Crenshaw on soon to talk about critical race theory, because critical race theory is important to unmask white supremacy. I think most of our audience would agree on that. Thank you so much for listening in. This is the professor. We'll see you again next week here on Vantage Point.